Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
This is Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy. Jeff, the cowboy cook, has been all over the world and knows all things barbecue. Jeff is an author, an actor, radio and TV host, and loves his horses. If he's not cooking or riding horses, he's playing golf. So, hey, ready to talk barbecue? Here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT at the grill and Dr. Dave at the bar, and we welcome all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation radio network. We are new here. This is our second week on AM 860 The Answer and our new Barbecue Nation radio network. So we're getting the bugs out, so to speak. Talk to a couple guys that actually got the bugs out, you might say, in a good way. Eric Gill and Brian Rogers from Smokin' Oak Pit and Drinkery. I always have to put the drinkery part in, guys, in Vancouver. It's been about a year since we talked to them here on the Nation, and they have done phenomenally well. Now, they're over there kind of trying to stay awake because they work so hard, but we're going to be talking to them in just a minute. Also, I want to shout out here to our friends over at Painted Hills Natural Beef. This segment is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can trust and enjoy while serving it to your family and friends. So, Eric, Brian, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So it's been a year. A lot has transpired, I'm sure. But the burning questions that readers want to know is, where'd you get that bitchin' hat? It's radio. Get the joke. So what have you learned in that year? Encapsulated into 9 minutes for me.
We have learned a lot. We learned things we never thought we were going to learn right off. Our processes have gotten redefined. We've learned a lot more about the accounting sides and the administration sides that we all had a little bit of experience in, but now we have quite a bit. We've been very fortunate. We've had a great following. We've had great support from the city. We've had great support from Portland. We've get people coming from all over, and they are very happy to, you know, tell us their story.
Sure.
And where they're from. And we get people driving down from Seattle. So we've been, we've been very lucky in that regard. So, and that's allowed us to make mistakes in other parts of the business then and be able to recover from them, because luckily we've been busy enough where we've cash flow has not been an issue, but we've learned lots and we fine-tune, you know, we've gotten much more efficient. We have our staff. In the beginning we had 15 employees, then we quickly blew up to over 40 something employees, and now we've kind of cut it back down, and we've got the right people in the right places now. We've got some very solid managers in place.
We've been incredibly fortunate with the support cast and the people that we've been able to get to come and join us, and we certainly wouldn't be able to be doing any of this without them.
Well, and that's so important. I think, you know, I owned a restaurant, I think I told you that, for a very short period of time, and this was 20 years ago. And the reason was a short period of time is because I kind of bought it actually for a friend of mine, and then his life changed very rapidly and I couldn't run it. I had two other things I was running, you know, but the importance of having good people, whether it's at the pit or whether it's at the register or whether it's behind the bar in that business, is so critical. And
it's the hardest thing to find.
It is. It is. And they are literally worth their weight in gold or brisket, whichever one you want. But
they get plenty of brisket.
They get plenty of brisket. So what have you learned, Eric, about the cook over the year?
Yeah, I was going to say, we've, like Brian touched on, we learned a ton about the business side. We've kind of stuck to our guns as far as our processes and what we do. You know, we don't serve yesterday's smoke. Everything's made fresh every right. single day from scratch. All that if you come in, you order the brisket, it was cooked well the night before that morning for that day.
Sure.
The mac and cheese was made that morning for that day. So that's been a tough thing to do, especially it is in a dinner service, in a full service style restaurant. So we've had to make tweaks here and there, but we've done a pretty good job of staying true to that. I think our biggest learning curve has been the business side of
thing.
We've been working in the restaurant industry virtually our entire careers, so we know how to tend bar, we know how to wash dishes, we know how to barbecue.
Yeah.
We didn't really know that much about taxes and payroll and all that. But luckily, again, we've had some tremendous help from some tremendous people.
Well, and especially when you're dealing with, you've got local ordinances, you've got county ordinances, you've got state ordinances when you own a restaurant. And most of the time they run congruently, but sometimes they differ a little bit. And that is a whole learning process in itself.
Absolutely.
There's lots of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
We've got them all pretty lined up now.
Do you feel like you've been doing calisthenics for a year, jumping up and down through hoops? Or
We feel very flexible. But to back, so we have actually made a few modifications on the smokers. So we've added some secondary grills or racks on them
sure.
just to keep up with
volume.
Demand and volume. So, and we've, you know, we're constantly, we're still a fairly new restaurant. We're about to hit our year and a half mark, and it's amazing how many things break down in the wear and tear just of the volume through the place. So we're constantly tweaking things and fixing things, and it's never seems to end, but.
Yeah, we got the welder out pretty much on a weekly basis.
Well, for those of you who have not been there that are listening to the show here in the Portland, Vancouver area, these guys did an incredible job. They took an empty space, basically, because you showed me the pictures when you first walked in mm-hmm. there. There wasn't much there that was usable except four walls. And even a couple of those were questionable.
Right. Yeah, we had to replace some of that, too.
Yeah. And then you've done the... You did the fireplace, you did the bar, you did the back bar, you did the restaurant side, you did the kitchen like that. I mean, kind of refresh everybody's memory. How long did it take you to, from the day you walked in and said, okay, we'll take this, and they let you start working until you opened?
Well, I drove to Oakland, Oregon in May of 2016 to pick up our first 250-gallon propane tank that became the firebox for each cooker. And we started ripping those apart and welding in my father-in-law's property in Battleground that summer of 2016. Brian moved here from Breckenridge, Colorado in October?
October 18th of
17. And we had just... We were just finalizing lease agreements then, and we were starting the demolition process and the whole building permit process and all that. So we actually got our building permit on January 1st of 2017, and it took us until November. We opened up November 15th of 2017. So we were kind of running two sites, building cookers up in Battleground and building the restaurant down there. So it took us close to a year to get it all done. But
and one of the interesting things is, if I remember correctly, is you guys got some help through crowdfunding.
We did. Yeah, we started a Kickstarter campaign. This is, none of us, we aren't men of means. So we're a couple blue collar guys taking our shot here. So we had a ton of help from a ton of people. And that was one of the things that helped us. We were successfully funded through Kickstarter, and we were very grateful for everybody who contributed there. We couldn't have done it without them.
I bet you are. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation on AM 860 The Answer and the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. We're going to be back with Eric Gill and Brian Rogers from Smoke and Oak Pit and Drinkery in Vancouver, Washington. Right after this, don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com.
This is Barbecue Nation with JT. Now, back to the grill.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network and here at AM 860, The Answer. I like that. We have the answers for you. And today we've got Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver. New email address for everybody. If you want to email the show, it's BBQ, just BBQ, at SalemPDX.com. SalemPDX.com. You'll get used to it. We're still on SoundCloud. Same pages there. We're going to break 100,000 downloads here very shortly, probably by summer. So that's kind of cool. And say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KVI up in Seattle and KSEY down in Seymour, Texas. We have the Facebook stuff and all that. You just got to look for Barbecue Nation with JT. So let's get back to Eric and Brian. How taxing has it been personally for you? It's a lot of work. I mean,
it's definitely, we've all three of us and four of us, JT Verona, he's our general manager. He's been with us since the very beginning. Kim McGill, Eric's wife, she's obviously been with us since before the beginning. And then Eric and I, and then we have an amazing staff, a lot of which have been there from the beginning.
Sure.
But it has been very taxing on us. There's been multiple times where we've looked at each other and said, you know, if we realized this was going to be this hard, we probably wouldn't have done it. But
what in the hell were we thinking?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, these are good problems to have. And
yeah.
So no, we wouldn't change anything. But it's been, you know, it has been taxing. I moved halfway across the country to come do this, and we've been working on it now for 3.5 years, basically. So. We're very happy with where we are, and it's definitely paying off, and it's opening doors that were not open to us before. So that's my side of it, I guess.
Yeah, we've had our fair share of gut check moments, that's for sure. But it's the reward is, I think, much outweighed all of that. In the beginning, it was tough. We were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. We were working 20-hour days or more. We all three of us lost a ton of weight. We weren't eating. It was kind of weird. A couple of times we'd sell out of food every night. Be like, I can confidently say that we own one of the best barbecue joints in the Northwest, and I'm going to have McDonald's on my way home tonight.
Yeah, Burgerville used to be one of my hot spots.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we like Burgerville.
Yeah, Burgerville's good. I like their secret sauce or whatever that is.
Yeah, but we're like he was saying, we've socially... You know, we've been doing this with our best friends. JT is one of our best friends. Our good friend and catering director, Patrick Blevins, has been helping us a ton. So my wife is there. So we, at the end of the day, we're doing something pretty cool, and we get to do it with our best friends and our family. And that's
all these people also helped with the build out. So
right.
It's pretty cool to, you know, incorporate them now into the actual restaurant. And we're very thankful for.
So you kind of got the Smoke and Oak co-op in a way with the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's okay. That's
We'll find a job for you. If you want it, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll come up there and
can always use an overnight pit guy.
Yeah. That'd be me at this stage of my life. we did off story here, but a buddy of mine decided that we should do turkeys for Christmas. Give people turkeys. My folks had a retail business. We had about 8 or 9 people that worked for him. Still had people out at the ranch. He had some people, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we got 19, 20 turkeys. And I had, like you, I had this big offset. It was a stick burner, though. It was a 1,000-gallon deal, you know, and yeah, had 3 racks in it. Yeah. So we got, I don't know how much beer and scotch Ron went through, because he wasn't working at the time. So he said, I'll take care of this. And he knows what he's doing. So I had no qualms about that. But like the next morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I look out the window of my kitchen. He's standing out there kind of like checking the fire. You need a chair? Yeah. So okay. It can be taxing at times, especially yeah, with too absolutely. Much Johnny Walker or whatever it is. It can be very taxing. So Brian, on the recipe side, most of these recipes come from you, don't they? And your family in Texas.
Yes, sir. My family. I'm not mainly my family, but yes, sir.
Have you tweaked any of them at all?
The core recipes, no, we stand, and I have thrown out.
Ma Rogers would allow.
No, yeah. I've thrown out 50-gallon or 50-pound batches of potato salad because something wasn't right. So we're very meticulous about keeping it the core recipes, you know, the way that my family created them. We have added new things and we've made up our own things. And so, yes, in that sense, we've tweaked a few recipes, but the core stuff hasn't changed at all. We have added, we've got daily specials now, for instance. So Tuesdays we have Guinness braised pork belly. Wednesdays we have our full plate beef rib, which is...
That is not an exaggeration. I just ate a bit of one and I'm full. And that is not, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Brian, but that beef rib, like I said when we were eating, so that reminds you of the old days when Fred Flintstone used to and Wilma drive up to their version of a drive through and they'd put those brontosaurus ribs on the side and the car would tip over. You're pretty close.
They're pretty good. And they sell out every week. So if you want one, we do them on Wednesdays. Get there early.
They do. Yeah, they're incredible. There's about 1 to 1.5 pounds of meat on the bone after the cook. So
do the people get to take the bones home?
Absolutely. Yeah. Dogs love them.
Yeah. So anything else? Have you expanded like, you know, other sides? Because you guys do, you do the ribs, you do the brisket, you do pull, and you're doing chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, and I honestly can't remember if you were doing chicken when you first.
We did.
Yeah.
Our 5 base meats there. We use sausage as well. And then, but we've expanded the menu. We do smoked beets. We have a buffalo cauliflower option. We have quite a few salads, you know, some happy hour. We do tacos and nachos, and it's all incorporating the barbecue. But other than just our traditional barbecue, there's other options there. And we've expanded a lot into, we started doing a lot of catering. We're coming into catering season, and been pretty overwhelmed by the response there. I think the entire month of June is pretty much booked up. We're doing a couple. We're doing a craft beer and wine festival there at Esther Shore Park in June, in Vancouver, and we're pretty excited. We just signed to do the Wild Hare Country Music Festival down in Canby in the middle of July,
and there
it's
you go.
A lot of Texas country musicians, the red dirt music, the stuff that we listen to. So we're pretty stoked to hopefully get to serve them some barbecue.
Very excited about that.
There you go. That's we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak right after this. Don't go away. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver. Real quickly, if you want to listen to some of our library of shows, you can go to SoundCloud. Just type in Barbecue Nation. You have to write it out, you know, it can't be BBQ. It's got to spell it out with JT. And you can email us at BBQ at sales at salempdx.com. I'll say that again for you. I think I screwed it up. It's BBQ at salempdx.com if you want to send us an email with comments or questions or how to get a hold of somebody, any information you like. Overall, how do you guys think that the restaurant business has changed, especially on the barbecue side? There's a lot of barbecue restaurants around. Not all of them are spectacular. You guys do a really, really good job with yours. With the advent of the popularity of barbecue, I mean, there's barbecue shows on TVs. I'm kind of the only radio show out like at this level doing it. But you think it's changed?
Well, the price of beef has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
But, I suppose, I mean, we learned a long time ago not to talk about other people's barbecue, but, we at the Smoke and Oak, we try to embrace simplicity and, no shortcuts. We don't do any fancy injections or rubs or anything. It's just salt and pepper on the brisket, Oregon white oak, and a lot of time and a lot of love. And we try to use that as kind of an overall theme for our whole restaurant, our beverage portion of the restaurant as well. It's, we like to do a lot of classic stuff and as simple and as good of product as we can. And I really think that the restaurant industry, although it's very complex and very difficult, kind of boils down to a good quality product at a fair price and a good service, and you got a pretty good shot at it. So that's kind of our theory, at least.
And a good location.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, location, location, location. So when you first started firing up the smoker downtown in Vancouver, did you have people like coming out of the woodwork, hanging out of windows of the apartment buildings and stuff around you? I mean, I kind of envisioned that when the first time I went up to see you guys. It was like, because my wife had an apartment that was like two blocks away from there years ago. And I was looking up and I said, oh, that's, you know, that's Shelley's old place up there. And I could just see some of those people, like when that smoke started coming out, they craned their head out or follow their nose to you guys.
We've definitely had some people follow their nose. We're kind of tucked in off the corner, so depending on which view you get, you can kind of miss us sometimes, but you can't miss us if you walk directly in front of us. So we've definitely had some people from the park, and you know, but and it does smell fantastic. You don't ever get tired of that smell.
Yeah, it does.
And yeah, you have to walk by the cookers to get into the restaurant, and we're very proud of the smokers. It took us a long time to build them, so you know, they certainly, without them, none of it would be possible. And it's a beautiful thing to see clear blue smoke coming out the top of them.
Oh yeah, no, I loved it. I thought it was great when we were there. And the, you know, the interior, and I've said this a number of times already, and I said it in the last time you guys were on the show, but the interior, you can tell how much work you put into that. I mean, just by looking at not just the layout, but again, the back bar, the counters, the, you know, where you got the fireplace and the dartboards or whatever over on that side, you can just tell how much you really meticulously went and did the work.
Well, we had a lot of time to put a lot of thought into it. And a lot of that, to be honest, design wise, we have to give most of the credit to my wife. She has a wonderful eye for that kind of stuff.
Smart man.
Brian and I are just skilled enough to be dangerous. We did a lot of the labor and the heavy lifting, but we had a lot of really talented friends that put in a lot of work for us for not very much money, if any.
Yeah, a lot of and,
a lot of that was by necessity. We did a lot of repurposing. You know, we made a foot rails of the bars out of an old gas line that we took out of the ceiling. There's all those, the cutouts, the steak cutouts, the big Texas cutout that we did, we made out of pallet wood from flooring place at Delta Park that we just took apart boards and took all the nails out and everything. So it's, like I said, we didn't have a ton of money going into this thing. And so a lot of it was by necessity, but we're pretty pretty happy and pretty proud about how it all came together.
Well, it just looks so cool. I mean, they kind of get an idea when they look on your website, but if you've not been there, you get in and you really see the atmosphere.
We get that a lot, and it doesn't look, I think it's surprising when you walk in the door, the space doesn't look as big as it actually is from outside, but right. It's pretty cool. Never gets old to see somebody walk in for the first time and their eyes get big.
Yeah, you can tell first timers because they don't expect it to look like that when they walk in. But we always told ourselves, we knew we were going to be spending a ton of time in this place, so we wanted to build a place that we would want to hang out, and that was kind of the theme of the build-out process. Functionality, flow, and aesthetics were very high on the priority list.
So in the back, I didn't go in the back. Do you guys have a private office?
We actually had to rent the place next door,
right,
for catering equipment and a little conference room and offices. We do have a little office in the restaurant, but it proved to be much too small. So we do some stuff in that office, but the majority of our meetings and everything is the space next door.
That guy was moving out when I was up there. I think he was moving out because you had just signed or were going to sign for that extra space.
Yeah, those are actually some friends of ours had a business called Slumberkins that's really taken off. And it's pretty cool to see them succeeding on the level that they have.
So we touched on this before. One of the things that I think, and I get a lot of on this show, is when people see me or they ask me or they email me or something. You said you don't inject the meat, you don't do that. I think that's one of the things that some of the television shows kind of, I don't want to say they're leading people down the wrong path, because if you want to do that, you certainly can. And that's very standard practice in the competition circuit. But what you're eating and preparing on the competition circuit isn't the same that you're going to get at Smoking Oak or any other really restaurant, because you can't eat a ton of that stuff when it's been so injected, so seasoned, so this and that, that I remember Amy Mills told me, she goes, I know when I've judged a contest because I can't get my rings off my hand. My hands are so swollen from everything that I've eaten. So what's your thoughts on that?
On injections or?
Well, yeah, just that people, like you said, you try to keep it very simple.
Yes, sir.
And it's basic barbecue, and it's excellent barbecue. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think sometimes people get the wrong idea is what I'm getting at from seeing stuff on television where Myron and these guys are all injecting the meats and they're rubbing it and they're hanging it upside down under a four-leaf clover for 16 hours or whatever they're doing, Yeah. And then people at home, you don't need to do that. They can.
And there's a place for that.
Yeah.
And it's, and I think that everyone's kind of looking for an edge or something to differentiate themselves from everybody else. And I understand and respect that, and I'll even eat it. But that's just not the stance that we take. We're traditionalists. We like to do things simple.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And our edge is our smokers. And my father's edge was his smoker. And he built his smoker. We built our smokers. And they're what do all the work. Obviously, trim is very important.
Right.
And cooking style is important. But we believe that you can maintain the same tenderness as people can achieve with injecting by doing it our old-fashioned way. And it takes a lot longer. It takes a lot more labor. We pay for all that. People have tried to convince us to go other routes to save on fuel, but those are, we'll go out of business before we'll take any of those shortcuts, in our opinion.
Yeah, and a lot of people send me rubs. I love them. I try them. I like them. Most all of them I've liked. But still, if you come to my house, you're probably going to get pretty much salt, pepper, garlic.
Yeah.
And,
sometimes a little cayenne for some heat.
Yeah.
And a little paprika for color. That's about our repertoire as well.
Yeah. That's just me. I am kind of that traditionalist in a way. If I'm going to glaze something, I'll do it right at the end very lightly. A lot of times you don't get any of that. It's available to you on the table if you want to do it. But that's just me. So do that. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and wrap up with Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver right after this. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with got Captain Chris in the studio with us today. He's over there running the command center. We've got Brian Rogers and Eric Gill from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver, and we are brand new here on AM 860 The Answer and the new Barbecue Nation Radio Network. So we got all that out. Sharp Dressed Man, ZZ Top. Yeah, Eric's over there smiling. He's saying we were talking about some stuff off the air
Texas
here.
Rock.
Yeah. What'd you call it? Red Dirt Music?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's good. If you had one thing that you wish you'd have known before you started, what would that be?
My mind's not coming up with anything. It's there's probably quite a few things if we would have known before we started would have scared us away.
But, yeah.
There's some tax things that we wish we would have known more about. But we've made it through, and we've set safeties in place to not have that happen again.
Right.
So I guess that's probably my number one. There was a real important piece of information that we were not privy to, I guess.
Right.
But we figured it out, and everything's going to be just fine.
That's kind of always our motto. So we'll figure it out. We've said that quite a few times over the past year.
Yeah. Well, I think any good operator does that. You know, usually people, when they give you advice, it's based on some tragedy or something in their life, you know, and they're trying to pass it on. But that might not be as big of an issue to you. You know, something else might be. So where do you see, are you still planning on doing another one of these? You were talking, I think, last year about going to Colorado or something.
Yes, sir. We are definitely planning on doing something. The boundaries of that have not been fully established, but we will, whatever we do in Colorado will have barbecue attached to it in some shape or form. We have a bunch of ideas and we're excited about them, but it's a little too early to speculate or to go too much into that.
Yeah, but, well, I understand that. You never want to tip your hand anyway.
No.
If you want to do that. If there was one thing you could change, what would it be? Besides rules and regulations and tax laws.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really like to look backwards. You know, we don't have a lot of regrets. I'm sure we made our fair share of mistakes along the way, but I think we've managed all right. Nothing really jumps to mind in terms of.
I would love to see a rooftop patio someday at the Smoke and Oak. I don't know if that's in our cards or not, but
yeah,
I have spent a little time thinking about that.
Is the city down for that up there? Will they let you do that?
I imagine if we engineer it properly, we can figure that out. But it would be.
We'd like to develop a nice outdoor space, and this one isn't done yet, and we're far from being able to step away from this, and it has to be perfect before we do. So
right.
we want to develop our own backyard before we look at anything else. But I know getting back in the mountains is definitely a priority for this guy.
I can tell.
I miss the mountains.
Yes.
But there's beautiful mountains here, too.
But Eric's got the bigger beard. You can't do the Grizzly Adams thing.
I can. I can grow a pretty good beard as well. But
little extra news here before we blow out of here. Kansas City Barbecue Society is pleased to announce that they are accepting applications for their 2019 KCBS College Scholarship Program. To qualify, a couple quick things here. A parent must be a member of good standing in KCBS for at least 3 years. Student must have carried a minimum grade point average of 2.5. That's on a 4.0 scale. That's not those ones that are buying their way into college down in Southern California. Student can show evidence of their good character by being involved in a public service or extracurricular activities, and the student shall obtain couple of letters of recommendation. So if you want more about that, you can go to the KCBS website, Kansas City Barbecue Society, click on their scholarship program. I don't know the minimums and maximums that they're awarding each applicant or, you know, that. But, hey, if it's free money, it's free money. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than the bill we got after my kid graduated from college. I can tell you that. So, give us a little more information, guys. Hours of operation, website, that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, we are, we're open 6 days a week. We are closed on Mondays for basically just to clean the cookers because they run about 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
We open at 11 a.m. We are open all the way till 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. We close at 10 during the week. We are, let's see, 501 Columbia, downtown Vancouver, right across the street from the Hilton Hotel and Vancouver Convention Center, just kitty corner from Esther Shore Park. Is a beautiful setting. We are right next to Lewitt Brewery. They make some really nice beers. It's kind of a good combo right there on the corner. Beer and barbecue go together pretty well. So
there you go.
Kind of a good destination there for downtown Vancouver.
Excellent.
Website, thesmokingoakpit.com.
There you go. We got to get out of here. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, JT.
For being here on the show again. And for everybody that's listening, we thank you for sharing this hour with us. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until then, take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD Productions in association with Salem Media. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.